Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zemke.
Dr. Zemke, good morning.
G'day. G'day.
G'day.
G'day. Well, I'd like to emphasise with my terrible Australian accent that today's instrument...
It's a good Australian accent. It's a good...
Yes. Is it? Yeah. All right. Oh, that's great. That today's instrument is created in Australia.
Wow.
Yeah, in one article said... It's there with the stump jump plough as a great Aussie invention.
The stump jump plough.
Yeah, so.
Is that like you're pulling it along?
I don't know what it is, mate.
They're a continent on the grow, aren't they? Australia really are.
They get this award for this classy, amazing instrument, and then that's what the quote says. It's there with the stump jump plough. So we're doing the Fairlight CMI.
The Fairlight CMI.
Computer Musical Instrument is what CMI
sounds like.
It sounds like
some sort of software, doesn't it?
It does.
It kind of is. So in its day, it was like a synthesizer that came with a monitor.
When was its day?
1979. But its day was the whole 80s. It owned it. So it came with a monitor, and kids back in the day, monitors looked like big cubes.
Yeah.
And the monitor had a greenish screen, just two colors of green is all it did, the dark green, the light green, and a light pen so you could adjust the waves.
Like an old sort of...
You could adjust the waves with your light pen and a keyboard.
Whoa,
that sounds pretty cool.
That sounds pretty cool for 1970.
Oh, that was like the first sampler. And so people went nuts. They only made 300.
Australia?
I know. They only made 300. But who bought them? Peter Gabriel, Kate Bush, Mike Oldfield, Stevie Wonder, Trevor Horn. So
it must have been somebody. Must have been somebody who was quite well respected amongst the musicians like that to have carefully farmed them out to those particular people.
It was the first thing that could do this that wasn't like as big as a room.
Right.
And so it kind of was the beginning of the home studio. Now, it wasn't accessible to everyone because they ranged from 20 grand to 100 grand. And the dude that invented it...
Did the 100 grand one have a better fish finder than the first one?
Back then you could get a house for 80 grand. So this is how expensive it was. So that's why they only made... 300, and they sold them to the people. One thing said, it empowered wealthy musos to do it for themselves.
Oh, that's a certain kind of DIY.
But it was step one to this bedroom music making. It was the whole package because it was a sampler, a synthesizer, and a sequencer. No, but what we're going to hear that's funny is you could sample anything, right? But it also came with these preset sounds that... Basically every song in the 80s from now on used it. You get the breathy do-do-do-do sort of sound.
Like a voice, like an ethereal voice. Like an angel, perhaps?
You get...
Or a mermaid?
They had a pan flute in the shakuhachi very popular. We're going to hear some of that later.
Pan flute back in those days was a precursor to lovemaking. It was very exotic.
Yeah, the boxers just dropped right off. So,
briefs mostly.
Let's listen, and you'll be able to hear some of these sounds. Oh, the orchestra stab. Apparently, orchestra stab. No, it doesn't mean you stabbing the orchestra. It's like all the orchestra instruments played a note at once.
Oh, yeah. That's classic.
And apparently, you can hear that in
Everything.
Yes, Owner of a Lonely Heart was the first one. That huge.
I'll put that on the Spotify playlist. We have a Spotify playlist of all of the songs you bring in.
And oh, yay.
Just for the keen listeners, we always check on.
What an encyclopedia.
One
of
extra
wonderment.
Track
for the keen, too. Yay,
extra.
High and high.
Extra for experts.
So let's listen to this is Art of Noise, Moments in Love. Very Fairlighty. There you go.
Straight out the gate.
That's what robots should sound like. That's what I think about. Like an asthma robot.
It's like a Manhattan Transfer made of robots.
I did.
You did.
I'd like to hear robots sing that song, actually.
There's your stab.
What was your stab?
That's a big noise. Here we go. Some dropping some cutlery after that, too, over the top. Drop that. Oh, again that again.
Oh, there's just sort of vibes.
That's a different instrument.
But they would have sampled it.
Did it have a key? So it's got a keyboard.
Yes, it's got a keyboard and a computer keyboard. So I know it was it was the thing. It was, and so some people, I was reading about it, feel like it helped sort of tear down rocks, you know, that rock was everything with the electric guitar, put the keyboard back front and center, that it could do amazing things and make this pop music. Now, one of the members of this band is a dude named Trevor Horn.
Mr. Horn.
And that's right. Trev to me, because yeah. We're mates. But
son of Mr. and Mrs. Horn, the Horns.
He was a notorious fairlighter, and he had already made it. He was.
Some words just really, yeah.
He had already made ABC's...
I see he'd been arrested for fairlighting before.
The Look of Love, and he eventually later did... Grace Jones, Slave to the Rhythm.
These are huge tunes.
Yeah, and these are all Fairlighty. And once you hear it, I mean, when I was trying to pick songs for today, they all started sounding like, did we not know everything was the same?
But it's funny, isn't it funny, like, when you come when something like this arrives on the scene, it fills such a gap. Music, yeah. You know, like, and it's like, how do we write songs without this?
Well, yeah, and everyone wanted it. Michael Jackson, Frankie Goes to Hollywood, big Fairlighters, Pet Shop Boys, Thomas Dolby. So they were obsessed with it. And maybe they used it too much. I mean, as we've seen with instruments, it can be too much. Well,
would this be a good example of too much? So this particular artist we're about to play next?
Yes, what's cool is that here's a French... you know, electronic music artist making really big hits that's fitting in with your Michael Jackson's and everything.
It's really out of it that he made really big hits.
I know.
For that gross album cover as well.
Yeah. So this is
Jean-Michel Jarre. Listen to how racist we're being. That's terrible, guys.
Sorry.
Oh my god, there's another level of robots. Here we go.
Wait till it drops though. But wait till you get the Fairlight little sample's gonna come in. So
massive
great.
Drop.
It must have been very hard in those days to not think that you were actually living in the future when you're writing this sort of stuff.
Yeah, I think he went out on a bender with R2-D2 the night before. Now, to me, that beat sounds exactly like Jan Hammer's Miami Vice.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, absolutely. You're right.
He was a big Fairlighter, too.
Okay, that's enough of that. That's called
Zoologically. And I forgot to mention, it came with two floppy disks.
To boot it up.
The massive ones.
Yeah. So much memory, I think it was.
Bigger than a video disk?
I think it was like 16
meg.
Okay, you know, the tiniest.
About
ones.
A megabyte.
Kilobyte. No, wait.
Kilobyte.
Yeah, I think it was like 16. But, you know, so...
The youngness is going, what's that funny about? That's not funny.
Oh, the other big sample that was popular was the Breaking Glass one. You know, you just press the one.
Yeah, yeah.
I've got that on a keyboard of mine at home. It's really, really satisfying.
That's in Owner of a Lonely Heart as well.
Oh, is it? And I know it's Michael Jackson's got one. But see, now the synthesizers will have the Fairlight sounds. Like, yeah. So some of the songs.
What made Breaking Glass? Like, who thought? Make sure we put the Breaking Glass noise in there.
Oh, God, I have that. Like,
yeah.
So
gotta have the hoo, hoo, hoo.
So by the late 80s, all the synthesizers had the pan flute, the choir, but they copied it from this Fairlight. But that's also what happened is it kind of died because by the late 80s, you could get the smaller...
Your Casio Japanese, tones and your bits and pieces. Yeah, sure, sure.
And they copied the sound and captured it. And, you know, now apparently, so by the end of the 80s, they were gone. But they've released new versions of it, and they're sort of debating between, they're trying to capture that same sound, because apparently there's imperfections in the technology that made the sound so
This is the thing, and you've got, I remember once, I was with my late great friend Swanee, and we were on an airplane trip, a private airplane. We were so excited, we're on a private airplane, going down to us to do a gig.
All these young
people on the plane, and they're listening to Huey Lewis in the news, and we thought they're trying to be funny, and we realised no, they're really listening to it.
They're really into it, yeah.
Maybe we're going to have a difficult time, and you know, so I just wonder whether maybe the Fairlight's due for another roll around, perhaps maybe. People making, you know, like say the Miami Vice theme. You know,
our beloved Rick Breeze apparently has three under his house.
Well, yeah, so he might have one of the originals, and then one of these. I think in the
2000s. I think he's got like a bat cave under his house, probably. I'd say. But.
Well, be careful, the Fairlights. So by 1988, they went bust. So that's like a short. Marriage.
Sweet Dreams, Eurythmics, which is one of the first songs I ever heard on BFM, actually. Sweet Dreams, Eurythmics.
Was that one?
Apparently so. Someone just said here.
Burned brightly and left a pretty body of music.
So, yeah, Peter Gabriel, Sledgehammer, Michael Jackson, Thriller, Herbie Hancock's Rocket.
Oh, I love that song so much!
Stevie's Happy Birthday. What else have we got? Now, the Mike Oldfield and Al Di Meola, you know?
I know Mike Oldfield. I bought an album. That's one of the first albums I ever bought. I don't know why I bought that.
Is it Tubular Bells?
No, it was another one from 5 miles out. It was just terrible. Just terrible.
But you shouldn't be judged on the first albums we bought.
So, yeah. So I guess you can tell if someone's a complete nerd if you can say, Fairlight, CMI, and they go nuts.
But this song, the one we're about to play, this is the whole world went crazy for this song.
Yeah, and listen for the Fairlight. If you don't like the song, it doesn't matter.
One of my best girlfriends at school, this changed her whole life, this song, to the point where I think she's still obsessed with that guy, Roland Orzabal, whatever his name is. If that's his real name, even. Percussion. I hate this song.
I can't believe you let me play it. Okay, but we gotta wait for the solo. In fact, everybody just sing along to the solo with your best computer choir voice.
Just get really into it.
Just sing along to this joyous song. I hate the way he sounds like he's not trying to keep quiet.
Imagine James Brown. You know, singing, shout, let it run out.
Very different,
huh? James Brown's not from England.
Okay, so we have the...
There it is.
Shoo, shoo, shoo. It's sort of like a half pan flute, half angel chorus-y. Shoo, shoo, shoo. That's two songs you've done the robot dance to just end, so just IDing that.
Wait, but you know what came with the Fairlight too? Laser shows.
What? Lasers?
Lasers
back in those days.
No, they're not with it, but with this music, is you have the spectacle of...
And also a bunch of really odd futuristic videos. Music videos.
And laser shows like on the pyramids. You know, and on, you know, ruins and Stonehenge.
Well, this would be about the time when fluorescent colours started making their way into the world.
Probably black lights. Okay, when's... Oh, no, now we got another verse.
Yeah, no, we're finished then, haven't we?
No, we want to hear the solo. You know what I'm talking about? The Fairlight solo. He's getting some emotion here.
Pirate ship, pirate ship, pirate ship. Trench coat, trench coat, trench coat. Pim, pim, pim. They would have been playing bass like this as well. Level 42 styles.
Oh, yeah. Scritti Politti. Oh, that's a Fairlight.
Cool name, mate, Scritti
Politti. Oh, we should have fast forwarded to the solo.
Come on.
Okay, so by the way,
Jesus, ponderous song.
Your phone can do everything that the Fairlight used to do. So why are we not making music every day, Mikey?
You know why? Because we show respect for those that have been in the past.
Here
know?
We go. No, this is not a good
organ. It's terrible.
But you know the solo I'm talking about.
No, I don't know what you're talking about. Do, 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 do. Oh, it must be the breakdown. There's a breakdown.
Here we go.
Oh, yeah, there we go. There's definitely a lot of pan flute in that. Okay, so that's that. I don't like this song.
Sorry, I mean, it's Mikey.
I feel, well, if we could sit through the next 3.5 minutes of it, if you'd like. I'm remember the video that stand two of them in trench coats, that one and then the other one, and they're just that look on the moors or something, you know, just looking out. Oh, there's probably some bagpipes or something.
Yeah.
What about the band Big Country? That's about that era as well. Like, yeah, Big Country. They wore flannel.
ABC?
Pre-grunge.
Yes, ABC. Lexicon of Love.
Oh. Lexicon or Look of Love?
Oh, look. Lexicon. Lexicon's the album.
And Look is the song. Yeah.
That's a great song. Is it on there?
Yeah.
We're going to play that.
We're going to play that.
We've got to go to the news.
Anyway, hope you enjoyed the greatest Australian instrument ever.
That's pretty great. What about a stylophone?
No, the stump jump. Oh, yeah, you're right. The didgeridoo. Oh, you're right. Second.
All right. Just keeping things in check there. Thank you very much, Doctor.
All right.
That was Travel Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zimpke.